So we left off yesterday just trying to understand Pshat in the Tosfos. Gemara and Sanhedrin, and Beis Min Aleph discusses the din of a person who was Bob Machteres and he steals a Chavis. There are two different scenarios. There's a scenario of not lost a Chavis, that the Chavis is still intact. And then there's a scenario of Shibras a Chavis, where he subsequently broke the Chavis. So the Gemara discusses whether you would say Kam Lebedramine and both. So in the case of Shibras a Chavis, it's a no-brainer. Of course you say Kam Lebedramine, because there's a Chavis Tashlumin. When it's not las achavis, so it's far from clear, because one can argue that the chiyuv of a gazlan to return a chavis is not really a teres tashlumin; it's really just a teres hashavas hagazela, just returning what rightfully belongs to that person anyway, and therefore it wouldn't make any sense to apply kibun drami. Now, maybe no, maybe we should say that is also considered to be a ged of tashlumin. So that was the issue that the Gemara raised between Rava and Rav, etc., back and forth yesterday. So Tosfos had the following comment in Asugya. Tosfos says that if you hold that Rav's original statement of Kam Lebedramine by Notlas Achavis is limited only to a case of Shiber, and in fact Notlas Achavis, you wouldn't say Kam Lebedramine. So if that's the case, so my Kamash Rolon, it already appears in the Mishnah. There's already a din of Shiber Achavis in the Mishnah. What's the Chiddush of Rav? So in a very, very small Tosfos writes that Vim Taim and my Kamash Rolon Tadina, Shiber Achavis Potter. That I would have thought that the din of the Mishnah of Shibas Achavis is Potter, that's only if you Shibas Achavis in the Machteres. But if you Shibas Achavis after you already leave the Machteres, so I would think that that's not covered by Kim Lebedramine, Kamashla and Rav, that even that's covered by Kim Lebedramine. And the question is, why is that so? Why is it that if a person breaks the chavis after he exits the machteres, why is that subject to the dinim of Kim Lebedramine? L'chora, his chiyuv misa is over already. He's already yatzachutz machteres. He's already not a chiyuv misa anymore. So why should that be covered by Kim Lebedramine? So this opened up a whole question that we began to discuss at the end of the shiur yesterday. This halacha that we find in Kim Lebedramine, that if a person is this chayav in mamon before it is chayav misa, that's not called Kim Lebedramine. That's the Mefarshei Gemara in Ayin Beis and Sanhedrin, Ksubas Daf Lamed Aleph, and Gittin, the fifth parak, that if the Chiyuv moment kicks in before the Chiyuv Misa, that is not Kim Lebedramine. So Yesh Lachkor, what's the nature of that din? Is the nature of that din that Kim Lebedramine requires Bevasachas? And Kol's Man that it's not Bevasachas, so that's not the parish of Kim Lebedramine. If that would be the case, then it wouldn't be a difference whether the Misa precedes the Mammon or vice versa. If push comes to shove, the two Chiyuvim are not Mamash Vasachas, that is not subject to the Pashur Kim Lebedramine. Is that the Pshat? Or is Pshat? No. The Pshat is that you don't really have to have Misa and Mammon together at the same time. That's not really necessary. But what is a problem, what is not subject to Kim Lebedramine, is if the Chiyuv Mammon preceded the Chiyuv Misa. Because if the Chiyuv Mammon preceded the Chiyuv Misa, then you want Misa to come and to be Mafkia, a pre-existing Chiyuv, that Kim Lebedramine can't do. Kim Lebedramine can prevent the Chiyuv from being Chal, but it can't remove a pre-existing Chiyuv. So therefore, Kol Zman that Mammon precedes Misa, then you're out of business for Kim Lebedramine. But if it's vice versa, if Misa precedes Mammon, then it's Nitan HaOmer, that's also called Kim Lebedramine. So we're not quite sure what the issue is of Kim Lebedramine. Can we invoke Kim Lebedramine when the Chiyuv Misa precedes the Chiyuv Mammon? So if the answer to that question is that yes, that a Chiyuv Misa preceding a Chiyuv Mammon can still be covered by Kim Lebedramine, so then we have already a Pesach for this thesis. Then we have a way to read this thesis. The thesis is telling us that yes, it's true, the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mammon are not Vasachas, but since the Chiyuv Misa preceded the Chiyuv Mammon, that's good enough for Kim Lebedramine to kick in. So that's the Pashas Advarim in this thesis. So just because something's the Pashas Advarim doesn't mean that it's the correct Advarim. So let's see if we can learn this sugi a little bit more carefully, go through a little bit together some of the Marmikomas, and try to fine-tune a little bit. What is the din? This is our basic question for today. Misa prior to Mammon. Yes, Kim Lebedramine, or no Kim Lebedramine? So a lot of this discussion revolves around the Gemara in Maseches Bava Kama, Daf Ayin Amud Beis, and a little bit of a background to that sugya. The Mishnah tells us in Bava Kama that if a person is gone of a tovach b'Shabbos, so he's potter from paying Dalad Behe. The reason is obvious. Tevicha on Shabbos is one of the lametas melachos. Sheichet is one of the lametas melachos. When you shecht an animal, you're a chayef skila on Shabbos. So a chayef skila and a chayef mamon, they coincide. That's classic kilam gravide. So that's easy. You don't need me for that. You don't need tavach gonav v'tavach b'Shabbos. It's poshut that he's potter. But the Mishnah says, in contrast to gonav v'tavach b'Shabbos, gonav u'mocher b'Shabbos. What if I stole an animal and then I subsequently do mechira of that animal on Shabbos? Is that also covered by kilam gravide? So the Mishnah laughs at that. The Mishnah says, nah, that's ridiculous. Ganav u'mocher b'Shabbos. Avad yechayev. Why yechayev for ganav u'mocher? The answer is partial. Because you didn't do anything that was mechayev and mises beis then. Now again, I'm not advocating keeping your store open on Shabbos. You're not allowed to buy and sell on Shabbos, but that's only an issur d'rabbanan. Rashi quotes Maseches Beis the two reasons why Chazal made the issur d'rabbanan of mechira on Shabbos. One is because it's a gezeir shem yichtoiv. We're afraid you may come to write. And one is because it's subject to the psukim in the Navi Shayyam. It's just not Shabbos dikka type of activity. But whatever the reason is, a deraisa with skila, it's not. So if a person sells an animal on Shabbos, a person buys an animal on Shabbos, he violated nisa derabanan, there's no question about that, but he didn't violate nisa skila. There is a Ramban ala Torah where the Ramban writes that if a person mamish keeps a store open on Shabbos and he's doing business as usual and buying and selling, get the whole nine yards, so that would be a nisa d'araisa, but that wouldn't be malach, that would be a nisa d'araisa of Shabbos and of Tishbos. The Torah says that you have to refrain from turning Shabbos into a weekday type of a day, so that would be a nisa d'araisa, but that would again only be an nisa resi, that wouldn't be a nisa skila. So in order to violate an issur skila, you got to do one of the lavatas malachas, or a total of one of the lavatas malachas, and mechiras fall short. So therefore the Mishnah says, above a comment, it's a milsa de pshita, that gonav v'tavach b'Shabbos is potter, because of kimah v'draminei, gonav v'mocher b'Shabbos is chaya, because you cannot take kimah v'draminei under those circumstances. Just parenthetically, we could be medayik from that Mishnah, something interesting, that what's the din if I sell something to you on Shabbos, is the mechira chal altogether, in chayshe mishpat. Do we say that a mechira that was done by Issa Shabbos is toifes? So the Rishonim bring a raya from this mission that yes. Because if the mechira wouldn't be toifes, then you wouldn't be chayav dalvei. You only chayav dalvei if it's a tevacha mecharoi. So the answer is yes, the mechira is toifes. Why in the world would one have said the mechira is not toifes? So if you learn sugyas at the beginning of Maseches Tumura, then you figure out why the mechira maybe shouldn't have been toifes. There's a clown in the Gemara called Milsa Yom Rachamana Iavid Lomahani. When the Torah says not to do something, if I go ahead and I do it, so it could be that the chalos is not chal altogether. So one has to pilpul with that. Does that apply to Dirabbanan? Does that apply to Yisuri Shabbos? Does that apply here? So there's a lot of Torahs on you. You have nothing else to do with your time. And you have a lot of good things to do with your time. It's a great thing to do with your time. Learn the beginning of Maseches Tumura. But you'll come to the realization why there should or should not be a kash on that sugya. But back to that story. So Gonavit Mochim B'Shabbos, there's no question that the Bechir is Teifes. And there's no question that there's no kibbutz drabine, and therefore there's no question that the person is chayav dal behay. Nevertheless, the Gemara of a comment of Ayin quotes a brayse that it says v'hatani ganav v'mocher b'Shabbos is potter. So the question is, how doesn't make any sense? How in the world can ganav v'mocher b'Shabbos be potter? Where's the kibbutz drabine? So the Gemara tries to turn the world upside down. Mamar's doing somersaults, acrobatics to try to figure out. In a wild, crazy case where a person stole something and he sold it on Shabbos and his act of mechira proper, that gufa is considered to be a chi of skila. How in the world do you turn what would otherwise be only an issa derabbanan into an issa skila? So the Gemara gives you the following wild, wild scenario. Hocham b'mayaskinan, the amalei zirok in evosech lechatzeri. So let's say Reuven steals an animal and he's trying to sell this animal off to Shimon. So he comes to Shimon and says, Shimon, I really want to save this animal. So Shimon says, listen, I'm busy right now. I'm meeting my children right now. I'm seeing Zmiris right now. I'm taking a nap right now. I don't want to be bothered with doing a mechira on this animal right now. But listen, you could do it by yourself. Just toss this animal into my backyard. And if you toss this animal into my backyard, so that will be an act of Chilul Shabbos. How would that be an act of Chilul Shabbos? Because the person is going to be throwing, the Ganav is going to be throwing the animal from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochin. So those who were with us when we learned Maseches Bava Kama many, many moons ago, Perek Meruba, those who were with us in Yeshiva and learned Maseches Ksubas in the third Perek, so may have been privy to some of my wonderful illustrations on the board. So as some of my Tamidim can testify, that my illustrations are rather fascinating sometimes. times. So I must have drawn this picture on the board 20 times of a guy tossing a sheep over a fence. That was Rok Zev Gneva Sechel Chatzeri. So we were willing to say that probably only applied to a sheep. To throw an axe over a fence would be significantly harder. So bottom line is, Reuven stole the animal, and he's trying to toss the animal over the fence. And by doing so, he's going to potentially be chayef for mechira, because that's going to be the kinyan, that's going to be the mechira sabahema, by bringing that animal into the Rishus HaLekeach. And at the same time, he's going to be chayef for skila, for carrying on Shabbos, because he's going to be carrying from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. So that's the goal of the Gemara. That was the Gemara's very, very creative scenario of Zrok Kedev HaSech LeChatzeri. So comes the Gemara Bava Kama on the Ayinim HaBeis, and now takes that case apart. Literally, Mamish analyzes under a microscope that scenario of Zerok and Emesech L'Chatzeri. The only way that this could work as a case of Kimlin Dramini, the only way we can defend this Bryce, we have this cryptic Bryce that says, God of Amocha B'Shabbos is Potter, which doesn't make any sense. So you have to pin it on Kimlin Dramini. And the only case we can come up with is this wild, crazy scenario of Zerok and Emesech L'Chatzeri. So comes the Gemara and says, really, is that true? Does Zerok and Emesech L'Chatzeri really qualify as Kimlin Dramini? It depends on the following. There is a machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan as to what moment in time a person becomes chayav misa for being zayrek mirshus lushus. If I take something from Rishus HaRab and throw it into Rishus HaYochid, that's called Achnasa, and that's an Issa Deraisa. At what point do I become Chayev? So the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Masechah Shabbos, the very first Mishnah Shabbos tells us, in order to be Chayev in Shabbos, you have to have an Akira and you have to have a Hanocha. You have to pick up the item and you have to place down the item. So when I pick up the item, namely when I start to throw it, so when it leaves my hand, I toss it over the fence, so I had an Akira from the Rishus HaRabim. At what point in time do I have the Hanocha B'Rishus HaYochid? So let's be very, very careful about this question. When is the Hanocha B'Rishus HaYochid? So if you'd ask me, I would say the Hanocha B'Rishus HaYochid is when it lands, but it lands on the ground. Or maybe, if you want to really be creative and say, when it's within three tefachim on the ground, so maybe Lova kicks in. So it's considered to be a P'Alocha like it landed. That's the Pashas HaDvarim, and that's the view of the Chacham, that the item only becomes Munach B'Mkoymoy once it mamish lands. And therefore, until that point, you're not technically chayav Mises Beizin, because you didn't complete the malacha of Hachanasa. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees with the Chacham. Rabbi Akiva has this idea called Kluta Kibishahun Chadamya, that when something is in mid-air, a very, very alum de shavort, that we view it as if it's already munach b'mkoymoy. So we have to experiment with something. Yeah, I'm not going to experiment with the tape recorder. We'll experiment with something. I'll talk. It's a good thing. Zork Arniki, okay? So I'm going to throw this wallet, all right? So I don't really want to throw it, but if I throw the wallet, imagine I'm letting go of it for a second. So the wallet is in mid-air right now. Is that called Munuch B'Mkoymu or not? So I would say, how is that Munuch B'Mkoymu? It's still in motion. So Rabbi Akiva says no. That motion really means the item is stopping, starting, stopping, starting, stopping, starting a billion, trillion, quadrillion times. Every move along the way is considered to be like it's munach b'mkayma, and then it's starting up again, munach b'mkayma, starting up again. That's klutik mishur chadamya. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, the minute that this item enters into the airspace of the Rishus HaYochid, it's already munach b'mkayma. The Hanocha was already completed, and the Chi of Skila already kicked in. So according to the Rabbanon, the Chi of Skila only kicks in when it mamish lands b'mkaymai. According to Rabbi Akiva, muhana aklutik mishur chadamya. There are those who want to argue that this machloikis between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon is some deep, dark, esoteric machloikis in physics. I don't know anything about physics, and if you know anything about physics, I try to figure out about motion and that kind of stuff, about whether something is really considered to be ultimately a motion, or nothing's really moving, everything is static. I don't know. I don't know anything about what I'm talking about, so I'm not going to say too much more. Okay, we'll leave it for the physics majors. So Rabbi Yisrael, back to our story. So according to Rabbi Akiva, klutik mishur chadamya, therefore the shas chiyuv is the moment that it enters into the Rishus HaYochid. According to the Rabbanan, klut is lav mishur chadamya, therefore the shas chiyuv misa is the moment that it lands on the ground. However, when it comes to kinyonim, at what point is something nikneh to the lekech? So here, which kinyon are we invoking here? What kind of a kinyon is the ganav doing on behalf of the lekech? What kinyon is taking place? This is clearly a what kinyon? Those are mesachas gittin. What kinyon is this? This is clearly kinyan chotzer. If you matzei sibatze biyada geneva, ain't the yado gaga chatzev kafifa minayin, the beginning of the eight pech masach is gittin. So this is a kinyan chotzer. At what moment in time does the Kinyan Chatzah take effect? Because the moment that the Kinyan Chatzah takes effect, that's when the Genev is going to be complete. That's when the Mechir is going to be complete. So the answer is, as soon as the item enters into the Avir HaChatzah, the game is over. The din of Hanocha is a din that was said in Uchas Shabbos. There's no requirement of Hanocha in Uchas Kinyanim. So therefore, if you just plot out on the timeline what is taking place when, we have a little bit of a problem. According to the view of the Rabbanon, that the Chi of Skila doesn't kick in until it hits the bottom, but the Din Mechira was already Chal once it enters into the airspace. So let's say if I'm tossing this wallet, I'm tossing this animal into your Chotzer, so imagine this is the Chotzer, right? Imagine this is your Chotzer. So the minute that it enters into the airspace of your Chotzer, so the Kinyan was already Chal, the Chi of Mamanus Adal Behe was already Chal, and the Chi of Misa doesn't happen until 10 seconds later, until it lands on the floor. So the Gemara says, that cannot be Kimlev Dramine, because things are out of order. There the Chi of Mamun preceded the Chi of Misa, and that's a no-no. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin 9 Beis. That's what the Gemara says in Gittin in the 5th Parak. That's what the Gemara says in Ksuvah Zaf Lamed Aleph. So the Gemara says the same Pizman over here also, that when the Chi of Mamun precedes the Chi of Misa, the game is over. That's not subject to Kimlev Dramine. So the Gemara says, Yitak, all right, that Hocham Ha'eskinan, this is Rabbi Akiva speaking. It must be that the Tana of this Brice is Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Akiva, the Chi of Misa and the Chi of Mamun coincide exactly at the same moment. Because exactly when it enters into the airspace, that's when Plutik Rishon Huncha kicks in. So the Chi of Skila is Chal right now, as well as the Kinyan Chatzer. So the Chi of Misa and the Chi of Mamun are simultaneous. Everything's hunky-dory according to Rabbi Akiva, not so good according to the Rabbanan. Then the Gemara says, you know what? If you really, really want to insist that the Brice follows the Rabbanan, so Hocham Ma'eskino, we can make a father Rabbanan also, that the Meicher and the Lekeach just made it tonight, they made a condition between the two of them, that lo tikna ha-geneva achetanuach, that they said explicitly that they don't want the Avir HaChatzah to be koina. I can do whatever I want. The Meicher and Lekeach decide whatever they want. If they made a condition between the two of them that the Kinyan shouldn't be chal until the item lands on the floor, so be it. So we can circumvent the problem, according to the Rabbanon, of the Chi of Mamun being taifes before the Chi of Mitzvah. So everything is Amakami of Bishalom. So the Braisa makes sense, Bein Lefi, the Rabbanon. The Braisa makes sense, Bein Lefi, Rabbi Akiva. Everything is Gevaldik. Everything is Meridik. Everything is perfect. Ad Kan Divrei HaGemara. So comes Taisus on the spot of a common definer and Beis and says things are not so perfect. Says Taisus, things are actually terrible. Because whereas the Gemara convinced us that according to Rabbi Akiva, everything is wonderful, because the Chi of Mamun and the Chi of Misa are coinciding at the same time, Taisus says that is not true. Because actually, the Chi of Misa, believe it or not, according to Rabbi Akiva, actually precedes the Chi of Mamun. How does the Chi of Misa precede the Chi of Mamun? So Taisus put together a couple of Gemaras. Taisus says, when I throw something into I wish this had mechitzas over here, it would be much easier if this had walls protruding on top, but we'll have to envision that there are walls here. So if I'm throwing something into your chotzer, I'm going from the Rishis HaRabim into the Rishis HaYochid, at what time exactly do I become Chayav Skila? When is that called a Chi of Skila? What time does it enter into your Rishos? Again, this is Rabbi Akiva speaking. At what point does it enter into your Rishos? So Taisa says it enters into your Rishos that, we'll try to map this out, try to draw it out as best as we possibly can. We're going to make these mechitzas over here. I don't know if the guys on Zoom can watch this, but it's not so profound what I'm doing, okay? So here's one mechitza. Here's another mechitza. All right? And I'm assuming there are four mechitzas here, and I'm throwing this into your rishos. So I'm throwing it up. I want everyone to stop me and tell me, at what point in time am I chayev skila? I want to hear it, guys. Tell me, when am I chayev skila? Tell me that. I just entered into, those who are not following along, I just entered into the airspace above the mechitzas. I am still 50 feet above the height of the mechitzas. I am already chayev skila. Why am I chayev skila? It's not in the Rishus HaYochid yet, because after all, it's not surrounded by walls. What's the answer, Rabbi Isai? Because there's a rule called Rishus HaYochid Ola Ad L'Rakia, that the Rishus HaYochid goes all the way up to the top. How do you know that? You got to learn Shabbos and Erevin for that. So trust me in that one. Rishus HaYochid Ola Ad L'Rakia. So there's no question that I'm chayev skila right now, according to Rabbi Akiva. Was I kind of the chayfetz yet? Was the Bala Chatzah Koine? No, because the Gemara Gittin says, you only Koine the Chayfetz when? Tell me when. Now, as soon as I get within the actual height of the airspace, of the actual height of the mechitz, I'm sorry, then and only then am I koine, because only then is it called the chotzer that's nishtamer in the avri of the chotzer. So comes Tosis and says, they put together Gemara's in Shabbos, Erevin, and Gittin, and came up with the following realization. This is how the Balei Tosis learned. They learned all of Shas at the same time. So they were learning one line in Bava Kamma, and they looked at the one line in Bava Kamma through the eyes of Shabbos, Erevin, and Gittin, and realized that the Gemara is making a mistake in Bava Kamma, the Fayim Beis, because it's not Vasachas. The Chi of Misa actually preceded the Chi of Mammon, because the Chi of Misa started once it enters into above the airspace, well above the height of the Mechitzas, and the Chi of Mammon doesn't get in until it enters into within the height of the actual Mechitzas itself. So Frek Tais Akasha, how could the Gemara call that Kimla B'Dramine? How could the Gemara say that the Brais of Ganav Amacha B'Shabbos is good because of Kimla B'Dramine according to Rabbi Akiva? It's not true. The Chi of Misa preceded the Chi of Mammon. That's Tais Kasha. So Tosis got so bent out of shape out of the kasha that Tosis said, "Hocha b'mayaskinon, catch this one, that you didn't throw the animal over the fence. How'd you throw the animal? Right through the what? Right through the window. Right? You had to open the window. Okay? You opened the window and you tossed it. You threw it through the window. Sure, that's kibbutz b'rabbanan according to Tosis. So wow." Tosis had to turn the world upside down. Tosis has flying sheep flying through windows, flying through doors, because they couldn't envision throwing the animal over the top, because they got so stuck on this nekuda that the Chi of Misa precedes the Chi of Mammon. No, Rabbi says, Zabin from Dafin Tosis. What do you see from Tosis? From the fact that Tosis has the cash, and the fact that Tosis couldn't come up with any better solution, you see clear as day that according to Tosis, that in order for Kibbutz B'Dramini to kick in, it has to be absolutely mamish pshuto kemashma v'vasachas. It has to be simultaneous. If the Chi of Misa precedes the Chi of Mammon, or vice versa, the game is over. Tosas nishkin Kibbutz B'Dramini. So just as the Gemara said, bedas the Rabbanon, if the Chi of Mammon precedes the Chi of Misa, that's nishkin v'Dramini. So to bedas Rabbi Akiva, if the Chi of Misa precedes the Chi of Mammon, it's nishkin v'Dramini. And the only way you can have a scenario of Kibbutz B'Dramini, if it's mamish v'vasachas, you have to throw the sheep right smack through the window. So whenever you see a Tosis like this, you see a Rishon like this, you realize right away someone's going to disagree. There's got to be somebody on the page who's going to disagree, who's going to say that we're not throwing animals to windows. We had enough trouble throwing animals, tossing them over fences. We're not throwing animals to windows. So there has to be another Pshat in the Gemara. Who is the other Pshat in the Gemara? Everybody say, who saw the other Pshat in the Gemara? The Rosh. The Shiva Kubetzes on that Sugya quotes the name of the Rosh, a totally different answer. Quotes the name of the Rosh the following, that there is no need for the Chi of Misa, the Chi of Mammon to be simultaneous. As long as either it's simultaneous, or the Chi of Misa preceded the Chi of Mammon, that's perfectly legitimate application of Kibbutz B'Dramini. There's nothing wrong with applying Kibbutz B'Dramini when the Chi of Misa preceded the Chi of Mammon. And that's exactly what happens here according to Rabbi Akiva. The Chi of Misa is tachachal once the animal is above the Avir Rishis Ayach, even though it's 20 feet above the height of the Mechitzas. The Chi of Misa kicks in at that point. The Chi of Mammon does not kick in until it enters into the airspace of the Mechitzas proper. And that's perfectly okay. We have no qualms, we have no hesitations of applying Kibbutz B'Dramini, because the Chi of Misa can, in fact, precede the Chi of Mammon. That was the Tais of Rosh's answer. So unlike Taisus, the Rosh, Shugbetzis, are assuming that Chi of Misa can, in fact, precede Chi of Mammon. But the Rosh goes one step further. The Rosh says, I'm going to bring a Raya Brura that a Chi of Misa can precede a Chi of Mammon. And the Rosh introduces us for the first time, but hopefully by no stretch of the imagination, the last time this summer, to a Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Chav Beis. This is going to be one of the pivotal Gemaras. It's going to come back time and time again. So let's see if we can get the Gemara straight in the first place, get it right, and get started off on the right foot. There is a Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Chav Beis, one of the most famous Gemaras in Bava Kamma. It's a sugi that most people who never learned Bava Kamma still know, because it comes up in other places. People like to talk about it as well. And that's the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about how to understand the parasha in the Torah of Eish. Eish is a very, very bizarre Dabar HaMazik. Ki seitzi Eish u'matzah koitzim. I light a fire. I'm sitting in my backyard having a barbecue. I light a fire. I'm careless with the coals. And then all of a sudden the fire spreads and it burns down your house 20 feet away. So that's a very, very strange Dabar HaMazik. What's strange in the Dabar HaMazik? Because those who learn Pashas Mishpatim and learn Bava Kamma realize that there are really fundamentally two kinds of mazikin in Halacha. There's the other HaMazik and then there's Mamayna Shehizik. And other HaMazik means if I take a sledgehammer and I smash your car, so I'm an other HaMazik. or if I punch you and break your arm, so I'm an adam achayva. When I do a chavala to a human being, that's called a chavala. That's a form of an adam amazik. So when a mazik somebody mamish biyadayim, bein be if a mazik is guf, bein be mazik is mamon, I'm an adam amazik biyadayim. Then it's understood that I can be mazik somebody even if I don't literally do biyadayim, but if I do it derech koichi. Let's say, for example, if I shoot an arrow, or let's say, for example, I shoot a gun. So if I shoot a bullet and the bullet goes and it damages something, or the bullet harms somebody, so I'm also called an adam hamazik biyadayim. Even though it's not literally biyadayim, I didn't take the sledgehammer and smash your window. Let's say I threw a ball through your window. Let's say, for example, for argument's sake, someone threw a ball, I would break a car window, right? So not that anybody in this room would ever do such a thing, but if I take a ball and toss it and break a car window, so that's called an adam hamazik biyadayim. Why? Because that's koyach adam. That even though it's not biyadayim amish, that's koyach, and koyach is considered to be kegufay. So that's like a given. That's like a dava poshen ad noy. That's the ABCs of Bava Kama. Then there's another kind of a mazik, and that's mamayne shehizik. So let's say, for example, my animal goes out and gores your animal. So I didn't do it. I'm sleeping. I'm in China. My animal, I'm chayef my animal. That's the parash of shor. Well, let's say my animal goes out and eats something of your property, or tramples on something of your property, that's shame, veregel, etc. So there are certain mazikim that are poshut that they're other mamazik, and there are certain mazikim that are poshut that they're mamayneshe hizik. Eish is a very, very tricky one. What's tricky about Eish? Because on the one hand, I lit the fire. So I did do something. I did get the ball rolling. On the other hand, it's not quite my koyach. Why is it not my koyach? Because the eish, based on what I contributed, is not going all that far. There is a koyach achem urabai. There's another koyach that's involved in the eish, and that's the wind. Without the wind, so the fire would just die out where it is. So the fact that it's a windy day, and now the wind is taking my eish and traveling it and causing it to destroy your house, that's koyach achem urabai. And that was the source of the machlekes of Yechon and Mishlokish. How does Halacha view that? How do you understand that parasha of eish amazik? So on the one hand, it has characteristics of being adam hamazik. On the other hand, it has characteristics of not being adam hamazik, of maybe just falling into the category of mamonish hizik. Now, that's important to know whether something is a gufa adam hamazik or whether it's mamonish hizik, because there are nafkaminas ladino. Let's say one of the most obvious nafkaminas the Gemara says is, let's say if I light a fire and the wind takes the fire and now it damages somebody and it burns the person's arm off. So now, am I chayav to pay just for the hezek, or am I chayav to pay for dalad dvarim? Do I have to pay nezek tzar ripah shevus and beishis? So if my animal bites off your arm, I only have to pay for nezek. But if I break your arm, I have to pay for all the dalad dvarim. So what's the din when my eish causes the damage? Is that called an adam hamazik, or is that called a mamonish hizik? So that was machlokes Rabbi Yechon Mish Lakish. So Rabbi Yechon, it says isha mishum chitzav, and Mish Lakish says isha mishum amaynai. How did Rabbi Yochanan know Isha Mishum Chitzav? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Gemara quotes a raya from a pasuk. It says in the Chumash, Kiseitze Eish Matza Kaitzim, which sounds like the fire is going out by itself, the wind's taking the fire, and then the Torah concludes, Shalem Ishalem HaMavir Es HaBeira. Mavir sounds like you did it. The Torah is saying, you're the Gavra, you're the Gavra Mazik, you're the other Mamazik Es Eish. Even though I didn't really do it, the wind took it. No, the Torah is Bechadish to me that Eish is also, Kachach Murabai, is also considered to be the Maisa Adam Shehizik. So that's where Rabbi Yechon says, Isha Mishim Chisa, Rishlokh says, Isha Mishim Amon. It's a very, very important Machlokes. You can spend a lot of time talking about it. Hopefully, we'll talk about this a lot this summer, because it keeps on repeating itself back to some of our sugyas. So comes the Gemara and says in Bava Kama that there should be another big nafkamina between the machlekes Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish about what would the din be as follows. What if instead of damaging a person or damaging property, what if I killed somebody through the vehicle of Eish? I lit a fire and the Eish traveled, and burned somebody and killed somebody. Now again, it's a tricky scenario because sometimes if the Eish kills somebody, sometimes I'm bechlal not chayev for technical reason because maybe the person should have run away. Let's say if I light a fire and the guy's standing there and he's watching the fire and having a good time, he's taking it with his camera, he's taking a picture of the fire, then he gets killed by the fire. That's not my problem. That he should have hailed the vrayach. So I'm not going to be chayev for that. So the only time we could even dream of being mechayev a person misa for killing someone through Eish is if it was impossible for the person to escape. So what would the din be? Let's say I lit a fire over here, and the wind came and took the fire across the street, and it burned somebody, it killed somebody, in a way that person could not escape, and I knew he couldn't escape. And the Eidim told me, don't light that fire, because by lighting that fire, the wind's going to come and take it across the street, it's going to kill the guy. The guy's tied down, the guy's chained up, the guy's locked up. So of course he's going to die from your fire. And I went ahead and I did that. So am I chayav or not? So the Gemara says it depends on the machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. If you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, so then isha b'shem chitzav. So that's considered to be a ma'isa adam. So just as I'm chayav in mamonis, I'm chayav for tzicha as well. So I'd be chayav misa for that. Whereas if you hold like Rish Lakish, that's not called an adam ma'azik. That's called a mamonish yizik. Ilu kato shara mi miknol. If my animal kills somebody, I'm not chayav misa beizin for that. Maybe I'm chayav koifer, maybe, but I'm not chayav misa beizin for that. So therefore the Gemara says the pashas in the sugya in Baba Kama Chobez is that whether or not you say that the person who kills through Eish is Chayav Misa only depends on the Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. So not everyone agrees to that, but I just presented you what's conventional wisdom. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya one way or the other. So the Gemara says we bring a raya from a Mishnah in the sixth Pech of Baba Kama, where the Mishnah talks about the following. The Mishnah says, Hamadikas HaGodesh, I burn somebody's grain, guys, a whole pile of grain. I set fire to the whole pile of grain. And there was a slave, an Eved Kenani. So if there's an Eved Kenani who's tied up in that area, he's chained down right by the Godish, and I know full well when I land at this Godish, the Eved is going to kill the Eved. So comes the mission and says, Hamaligas HaGodish, V'hoya Eved Kofas Loi, Patrol HaGodish. I don't have to pay for the Godish. Why don't I have to pay for the Godish? Because I'm Chayav Misa for killing the Eved, and I'm Chayav Misa for killing the Eved, so what cloud do we plug in? So Kimav Draminei. So Adkan HaMishnah. So the Mishnah says, Beferish, there's a parish of Kimav Draminei by Madlikas HaGodish. So comes the Gemara and says, it's a no-brainer that this Mishnah is to support the Rabbi Yechanan. Because according to Reish Lakish, we would never apply the rule of Kimav Draminei by Eish, because that's not an Adam HaMazik, that's not an Adam HaRetzeach, that's a Shor Shehizik, that's B'mayna Shehru Sheratzach, so that we wouldn't call that Kimmel Ramadan in the first place. So the Gemara says, no, that even according to Reish Lakish, we could explain away this Mishnah. Why? Hocha V'ayaskinan, G'on Shehitzis B'gufa Shalaved, that rather than learning Taich in the Mishnah, that the person lit the grain, and then the grain spread with the wind, and eventually killed the Eved, we have the wrong case. The real case of the Mishnah is that I took a coal, and I put the coal onto the Eved's body. I burnt the Eved with using a coal. Says the Gemara, that's not Eish, that's an Adam HaRetzeach B'Yadayim. What's the difference whether I take a knife and I stab somebody, whether I take a gun and I shoot somebody, whether I kill somebody in any other way B'Yadayim, or if my weapon that I'm using is a fire, that's my knife, that's my sword, that's my gun. So of course I'm going to be Chayav Misa, even according to Reish Lakish. The whole machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is, if I light a fire here, and it takes 20 minutes for the wind to come and take it across the street, so then Reish Lakish time is, Isha Mishim HaMayinai. But over here, if I'm using a coal as the murder weapon, so of course I'm going to be Chayav. That's another word, Tzeach B'Yadai Mamish. So that's the Pshat of the Mishnah. So the Gemara breathes a sigh, at least said, Baruch Hashem, that's the case. Everyone's happy except for the Eved, but otherwise everyone's happy that Kshocha Hitzis Begufa Shel Eved. That is the case in the Mishnah that I'm going to be Chayav Misas Bezin for the Eved, according to Reish Lakish, and I'm going to be Potter for the Godish because of Kimmel Raminei. So comes the Rosh and makes the following Chesh. He says, wait a second. Everything is out of order here. Why is everything out of order? If it's Hitzis Begufa Shel Eved, what happened first, Rabbi Say? The Ritzicha happened first. So the Chayav Misa happened first. What happens next? Then the fire spreads from the Eved to the Godish, and then the Chayav Momon kicks in. And what did the Gemara just call that? Kimav Draminei. Wait a second, it's out of order, says the Rosh. How in the world could the Gemara apply Kimav Draminei under these circumstances? Typically, that it's not simultaneous. And since the Chayav Misa is preceding the Chayav Momon, the game's over. Once the Chayav Misa kicks in, so that's always Kimav Draminei. So says the Rosh, what do you see from this Gemara? What do you see from this Teretz Ali with Reish Lakish? That the order need not be necessarily intact. It doesn't have to be simultaneous. You can have Kibbutz Raminei even if one precedes the other. As long as what preceded what, Rabbi Say? As long as the Misa preceded the Mammon, that's perfectly legitimate. That's perfectly okay. Azoy state in the Rosh, a raya from this Gemara. So now the Rosh says, just as this Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, Misa can precede Mammon, and that's called Kimav Draminei. So too, we could go back to Bavakamadav Ayin and say, when the Chayav Misa for throwing the animal over the top of the fence, not through the window like Taisus, but over the top of the fence, even though the Chayav Misa begins first, because the Chayav Misa begins with Shesayachlis, Teufis Adler, is Oilad L'Rakia, so the Chayav Misa starts cuts it off, and the chiyuv mamon only kicks in when it enters into the airspace of the mechitzas, that's perfectly okay. That's legitimate. Nothing wrong with that. You could have a chiyuv misa preceding chiyuv mamon. That's also called kiyuv ramine. So the Rosh, Azah, Bekiyas of Bava Kama, he learned the second Berak of Bava Kama, learned the seventh Berak of Bava Kama. You see, it's not fair. You guys, just I cheated with you. I gave you a snip of a Gemara here, a snip of a Gemara there. The Rosh learned all the Gemaras in between. So he had all of Bava Kama. He had to try to figure this all out. He's learning a Sugya Daf Ayin. He had to remember what happened back in Chav Beis. So he realized that it's the same Yisrael that's permeating both Sugyas, that Misa can precede Mamon. That's perfectly legitimate. That's perfectly okay. Of course, there's a Rishon who has to do some explaining. Who's the Rishon who has to do some explaining? The Taisus where? Which Taisus? Which Taisus has to do explaining? No, Taisus Bava Kama has got to do a lot of explaining, right? Taisus Bava Kama of Ayin and Beis has to do some explaining because according to Taisus in Bava Kama of Ayin and Beis that the Misa and the Mamon must be simultaneous. Remember, Taisus said that if the Misa precedes the Mamon, so the game's over. That's Nishkim Lidramine. So how in the world would Taisus address this sugya in Bava Kama Dav Chabez? How could the Gemara say Hitzis V'Guv Shaleved? That's called Kibbutz Ramine. It's not true. Everything is out of order. The Misa is coming before the Mamon, and that's not legitimate application of Kibbutz Ramine. So how would Taisus deal with that? So Taisus doesn't tell us how to deal with that. So we have to search on our own. We have to search in Rishonim, and we have to find that there are other Rishonim who would be bothered with the same Kasha. So who is the Rishon who is bothered with the same Kasha? The Rashba. So the Rashba in Bava Kama Chabez Mabez raises the same question. And the Rashba says, wait a second, hold the phone, says the Rashba. How is the Misa going to pat in the Mammon? The Misa is preceding the Mammon. And the Rashba doesn't give the Rashba's teretz. So the Rashba turns the world upside down. Comes the Rashba and says that you have the wrong Misa here. Where's the Chiyuv Misa for the guy who's putting a coal on the Guf Shel Eved? Name me the Chiyuv Misa, Beisai. What Chiyuv Misa did you think it was? I thought it was Maki Ishra Meis Mos Yumas. I thought it was the Chiyuv Misa's Basin for Ritzeach, right? Says the Rashba, no, you got the wrong Misa's Basin. You got the wrong Misa. You know what the Misa is, Rabbi said? What's the Misa? Anyone learns that? Haven't you? I mean, Beis? The Misa Al Tzereidif. When you're putting a coal on the Lev Shel Eved, Du Bist Tzereidif Achar Eved. You're running after the Eved to kill him. So you have a din Reidif that's Chal on you. And everybody knows, Sanhedrin Ayin Beis, that a Reidif is also called Kibbutz Ramine. So comes the Rashba and says, Chochel Ma'eskid in the following. You put the coal on the Eved, and now you are considered to be a Reidif Achara Eved. You're a Reidif. And to what point does your Reidifa end? At what point do we say you're Ois Reidif? When? When the Eved dies. Kol's mouth, the Eved hasn't died yet. You're still considered to be a Reidif. So your moment, your window of opportunity to be called the Chayav Misas Beis Din has just been extended significantly. That whole window of time of your being involved in an active Reidifa, from the moment that you get involved until the Eved actually dies, du bist a Reidif. And any Chayav moment that's going to be Chal at that moment is going to be covered by the simultaneous Kibbutz Ramine of Reidif. So says Taisus. When did the Gadish go up in smoke? When was the Gadish destroyed? Before the Eved actually died. But in Ochinami, if the Eved dies first and then the Gadish gets destroyed, that's not the Gemara. That would not be the Mishnah. That would not be Kibbutz Ramine. So what did the Rashba accomplish by changing it from a Ratzeach to a Reidif? If you're dealing with the parish of Ratzeach, there's only one split second in time when you chay bisa for Ritzeach. When is that? When you did the Ma'is Ritzicha. What's the Ma'is Ritzicha? The Ma'is Ritzicha is the putting of the coal on. The Ma'is Ritzicha is the stabbing. The Ma'is Ritzicha is the shooting of the gun. It takes another 20 minutes till the Eved dies from his wounds. That's not the Shas Ritzicha. Your Shas Ritzicha was when you did the Ma'is that brought about a Ritzicha down the line. So if you're going to stick to that moment of Ritzicha, you're going to run into a serious problem of Kibbutz Ramine, because the Rashba is convinced you can't have a Chiyuv Misa preceding a Chiyuv Mamon. So what the Rashba had to do is you had to extend, you had to open up the window of the Chiyuv Misa by changing the name of the game. It's not the Pasha of Ritzich, it's the Pasha of Reidev, which is a perfectly legitimate expression of Kibbutz Ramine, as it says in Hedonai and Bezim and Aleph. So once you opened up that window, and now you have that entire time that the Eved is from the moment of you put the Eish, the Gecheles, on his body till he actually dies, any moment that's going to be going to be Nischayev, at that moment is going to be covered by Kibbutz Ramani. Everything's hunky-dory, says the Rashba. And we don't have to fall back on any Maiselach of Rushes and Shidbukbetzes and stories of Misa preceding Mamma. No, the Misa in the moment of Mamash of Vasachas. So Baruch Hashem, we could read the Kabbalah a sigh of relief. So we have Rabbi Yisai. What's emanating from our sugya now is two major, major approaches in the Gedolei Rishonim, which is really Achakim, Achshala. We opened up the Shir with this fundamental question: is there a din that Misa and Mamon have to be simultaneous or not? We have no idea. All we know from the Gemara is that Mamon can't precede Misa. That's a given. Mamon cannot precede Misa. That's the Duma Forsum. But can Misa precede Mamon? Unclear. So we dug up a Taisus in Bavakamad of Ayin Rebeis that says that Chalil v'Chalil b'Shumpan of Oifen, Misa cannot precede Mamon if you want to invoke Kimlu Dramine. We had the Rashi of Bavakamad of Chabeis that says Misa can't precede Mamon. So any Rishi who says Misa can't precede Mamon has a lot of explaining to do. So Taisus explained to you in the Ayin Rebeis in Bavakamad, they stuck a window into the wall of the Chatzah. Good, very nice. According to the Rashba changed you from the Pashiv Ratzech into the Pashiv Reidev, because again, he couldn't believe that the Misa could precede the Mamon. Whereas the Shita, the Rosh, Gubetz is in the Rosh, says, Mappy time, don't give me your Kimtas, don't give me Bubamites, says that there's a window in the wall, and don't tell me a story, the guy's a Reidev. None of that is true. He said, the answer to both Kash is one fell swoop, that Misa can precede Mamon, there's nothing wrong, no qualms with Misa preceding Mamon. So we have two different Gemaras, two very, very different approaches in Rishonim. We have the Rosh, who's explaining both these Gemaras with his Yesod, Misa can precede Mamon, with the Lomdus of why that's so, and you have both the Taiz and the Rosh, who are clearly disagreeing. Rabbi said, before we move on, this is just the background. We didn't even touch here yet. This is just the background to understanding our thesis. So Rabbi said, do we understand the Rashba? The Rashba said, I'm going to change the rules of the game. I'm not going to call him a Reitzach. I'm calling him a Reidev, and everything is good to go. We just called him a Reidev, and then we're good to go. And we just extended the window of opportunity for much, much longer. And if any chiyuv moment that's going to take place at that point is going to be covered by the din of Kibbutz Ramani of Reidev. They don't have any problems. Besides, I've told them what the problem was before. I don't have any problems with this Rashba. Why is he not a Reidev? Because you can't save him. Oh, so Zach's saying, wait a second, hold the phone. Zach's saying, it's true that if I would see somebody coming with a coal, running over to a tied up Evan, about to put the coal on his heart, so that's a Reidev, and somebody should butt me off. If the only way to save that poor Eved is to bump me off, that's the Pashiv Reidev. But once I already put the coal on the Eved, am I still a Reidev? How in the world is him taking me out of the picture? He's going to shoot me. How is that going to save the Eved? The Eved's history already. The only way to save the Eved is get the Eved into an ambulance, first of all, on time, get him into an ambulance, get him into the burn unit. But killing me is not going to save the Eved. It's like Moshe, I'll give you a Moshe Madav Adoyme. Let's say Reuven shoots a bullet, and Kolzman, the bullet's flying, somebody decides to take Reuven out of the picture, to kill Reuven. What kind of Reidev is that? That's not a Reidev.
Save from an Avera?
Saving him for the Aveira, he's going to be dead. So he's not going to be able to do the Aveira anymore.
Right, so you're saving the Ritzach. You're doing killing someone.
Well, you're saving the Ritzach. Is a saving the Ritzach really enough? Is that really called Reidev? So the Pasha's Advar, maybe, but the Pasha's Advar is that the goal of the goal of killing a Reidev, why is there a din of Reidev altogether? Why is there a din of Bamachteris altogether? Isn't the Pasha's Advar is that the whole goal of Reidev, the whole goal of Bamachteris, is to save the Nirdav? Isn't that the goal? And if that's not the goal anymore, that goal is not attainable anymore, because your act of killing the Reidev is Lomalav Lemeri to that soul, say Nirdav, isn't that Ois Reidev? Isn't the Rashba Pilei Ploim? So the Chayyim, what do you see from the Rashba, they say? There's more to Reidev than meets the eye. That Reidev is not just about Atzolos and Nirdav. Reidev has a certain dimension of, I don't know if I'd use the term that Yoni used, of, but I'd use the term of, it's an Einesh for the Reidev. It's a different kind of an Einesh for a Reidev. It's not just Hatzolos and Nirduf. There's a degree of Hatzolah here as well. I'm sorry, there's a degree of Einish here as well. You are getting yourself involved in an act of Ritzicha. You're doing something that would normally carry with it Mises Beis Din. So the normal protocol is wait till we get to Beis Din, we'll be to Eidim, we'll have a Din Torah, we'll have a Gimel Day on him, we'll find you guilty, we'll be manish you as a Ritzicha. But the Torah says there's another way to do an Einish and a Ritzicha, is to kill him as an Einish before he even does it. That's Pateras Einshin.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
What right do you have to carry out? If it's just a din and onesh, then why doesn't Bezin have to do that? Why can anyone do that?
That's the Chiddush HaTorah in Bava Machteres. That's the Chiddush HaTorah of Ein Mashiach. That's exactly right. Without this parish of Reidif, I never would have said such a thing. I would have said you got to go down, you go to the root of Bezin. You can't be manish. The same way I can't be manish. If I see you being Michal Shabbos, I can't be manish you. If I see you being Avid of Azor, I can't be manish you. I would have said, how can I be manish you? Because you're doing Ritzicha. So that's what the Torah says. That's the parasha of Abba Machteres.
Okay, so you're saying that's a huge chiddush.
Yeah.
That's a huge chiddush.
Yeah.
Okay, so why doesn't Bezin have to do that?
Yeah. That's the Rashba. Otherwise, the Rashba doesn't make any sense. If the whole focus of Reidev is simply at Tzolos HaNirduf, how in the world can you mete out an act of Reidev? How can you deal with the Reidev? If you are acting on the Reidev, it's not going to save the Nirduf Kiyuzah. So Zepman from Da, that the din of Reidev / Bamachteras has ancient components to it as well. Can somebody bring me a riot to that? Which Mishnah? Amishnah, why? Because what does Amishnah say? Amishnah says there's a din of Kimle Vidramine by Reidev, above Machteras. Did anyone bother to think about why that's so? Why in the world is there a din of Kibbutz Rami? How did Chazal know? We mentioned this in passing yesterday. It's clear for the Gemara, the entire Sugya, and Beis Din is assuming, just as a din of Kibbutz Rami by Chayv Misas Beis Din, that's the original parasha for Ritzayach, there's a din of Kibbutz Rami by Reidif as well. How did Chazal figure that out? Who told Chazal? But? Chayim Moser told the Chazal. Yeah, I know you mean Ash. I know exactly what you're referring to. So, because I told it to you, right?
We did it in Ksubis.
That was years ago, many, many moons ago. Okay, right. Right. So, Rabbi Isai, obviously what told Chazal, this piece of information, is Chazal realized right away that there's more to Reidif than meets the eye. Reidif is not just a Tzolos and Nirduf. Reidif is Mishum Einshin as well. There's a dimension, there's an element of Einish in this also, and that is Gufa, what's fueling the very din of Kimmel Ramadi. If not for the Einish component, Rabbi, you wouldn't have been able to say Kimmel Ramadi Bechlal by the Parsha of Reidif.
Isn't that also Rashi?
The what? I didn't hear what you said again. Latzila bin Aver. I mean, that's more like Yoni was saying. That's less of an Eidish. It's more of a Hatzola HaReidev from doing the Avera. It's a similar idea, but it's not exactly the same. L'chara, can anyone bring me another Raya? That there's a dimension of Eidish for a Reidev / Bava Machteres? Yeah. But every Reidiv is like that. Every Reidiv hasn't succeeded yet. If I see a guy running after somebody with a knife, I can kill him with Teres Reidiv, but Teres Einish also.
But that's a din.
No, so I'm saying that every Reidiv has both. If Reidiv was purely Atzolos Nefashos, then there wouldn't be a din of killing Ramine.
So what is the Onesh?
It's an Einish. I planted the question, no? It's a bizarre Einish. It's almost should have the guy Einish. The guy didn't do anything wrong yet. What are you being manish him for? No, what's the answer? Anyone know why we're learning Ben Sarah Meir right now? Why are we talking about Reidev? Why are we talking about Bava Machteres? How does the Mishnah introduce the Sugya? The Mishnah says the Bava Machteres Nidon Hashem Seifai. What does that mean, Nidon Hashem Seifai? The reason why Bava Machteres is Bava Machteres is Nanash, and the reason why you kill him is Lahatzolos HaNirduf. So the Mishnah says no, but the fact that Rabbi Danasi put this Mishnah into this Perek, Rabbi Danasi is highlighting the fact that there are two Averis in the Torah that you are punished for before you did anything. Ben Sarimari didn't do anything bad. He stole some money and he ate some meat and he got a little drunk. Please don't misquote me. What's the big deal? What'd he do? But the terrorist is, if you let him keep on going, living such a lifestyle, tomorrow he's going to kill. He just became addicted. That's what Moshe Feinstein writes in his truth, where they asked Moshe, what's the issue in the Torah for taking drugs? It's a vish state in the Torah, you're not allowed to take drugs. So Moshe says, of course not, I'll take drugs. For half a dozen reasons not to take drugs. But if you want to know the lava mafurish patera, he says it's losoich al hadam. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, what's the horror for Ben Sarimera? You can't kill a guy unless he violates a law in the Torah. Vishtate, you're not allowed to be Ben Sarimera, losoich al hadam. Don't eat in a way, don't get yourself involved in activities that will get you to end up becoming a Ben Sarimera. What's losoich al hadam? So Moshe says, what's a Ben Sarimera? He becomes addicted. He eats a lot of meat, drinks a lot of wine, he can't control himself. He's addicted to alcohol. So now he has to go steal from his father. And tomorrow he's going to steal from somebody else. And the next day he won't be able to find anyone to steal. He's going to kill somebody because he has to satisfy his addiction to alcohol. That's what Ben Sarimar is. He's Nidon Hashem Seifai. So that's what Moshe said. Anytime you get yourself involved in any kind of addictive activity, that's an Issa D'Oraisa L'Seichel Adam. We've said this over many times. That's why... For many, many different reasons. Smoking is also in a Torah, and gambling is also, all these things are also. But one another reason, perhaps the primary reason, is anytime you get yourself into these kind of activities that don't have an end to them, so that's also a violation of L'Seichel Adam. So back to the story. So we're developing this razzle-dazzle you said here, that there's more to Reidif from B'mechteret than meets the eye. That Reidif and B'mechteret are not just Hatzalah, but there's a certain dimension of einish to them, and that's why this came to dominate to them. We'll hopefully keep on coming back to this later on. That sheds some light on the Rashba. That explains why the Rashba is comfortable calling this fellow a Reidif, even though his taking him out is not going to impact on the life of the Nirdif anymore. But he's still involved in the Averas Aretzicha. You can still call him a Reidif HaChaver LeHargai, even though that Salah Shabbai is over. It's a Chiddush Golof and Rashba. Anyone want to go one step further? How Chazal figured this out? We state all this in the Torah Kedosha. The Torah just says, "Ein Mashiach. Hayesh tochol yesh lo shiach chayv lo shiach filu benefesh ha'reidev." How did Chazal know there's more to it than meets the eye? How did Chazal know there's more to it than just that tzala?
Itin latzilu benasha.
But where does that say in the Chumash? So there are two makaris for Reidif in the Torah. One is the Ein Mashiach, Chalal Shechayv Loshia. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. It's actually by Rodev Acha Erva, but it's the same din of Reidif. And there was the other din of Reidif in the Torah. What's the other din of Reidif in the Torah? Pob Machteres. Right? Pob Machteres is Reidif. Why is it a Reidif? So it's not exactly a Reidif. I would have thought it's not a Reidif. Comes Rav and says, "Abba Rav, my time at the Bechteres, Chazok another mam and asked for my money. If I may my army as lina koil that poiv l'shavali, we koil that poiv katlidolay. But I remember lahar koshkin lahar goy. When I just read Bob Machteres, I didn't even chop that it was Reidif. I thought a guy's just coming to break in the house and steal your money. So the Gemara says, no, psychologically it's more than that. Psychologically, he's coming to kill you also. And therefore, every Bob Machteres is a pidin considered to be a Reidif. I have a kasha for you. Why is it Bob Machteres a Reidif? Because he knows that the Balabais is going to stand up. Who has a kasha for me? How can the Torah portray Bob Machteres as a Reidif? Because he knows the Balabais is going to stand up. Why don't we whisper into the ears of the Balabais, what? Don't stand up. What right does the Torah tell the Balabais to kill the Bamachteris? Why doesn't the Torah just say he should hide in the sand, he should lock himself in the closet? How in the world does the Torah give you this model to say that you're the Balabais, the guy's breaking into your house, and take your shotgun and go after him? Why? Why don't we just tell you to hide, run away? So I heard this many, many years ago. I was in high school from Mordechai Marcus, Tzadok Livracha. My high school rabbi, he was just nifter a couple of months ago. So he said over this part, he said that if Bob Machteres was only Pikuach Nefesh, so we would whisper into the ears of the Balabais, let everybody remain alive. Everyone can walk out of this alive. So you lose a few dollars, big deal. Take up the basin, you get kefil, you make more money in the future anyway from this. He said, why kill the guy? If all that's playing out in the parasha about Mechteres and Reid, if it's Atzolos and Nirdof, Efshel Lekayim Shneim. So the answer is, no. I have a right to be Manishim. He's involved in a potential act of Ritzicha. I know that he knows that I may stand up to him, and therefore, he's a right Dave. And I am not Mechliv to hide in the sand. I am allowed to go and stand up for my rights. I'm allowed to tell him, don't take my money. And if he decides to keep on going, I'm allowed to kill him. So forget, when I hear the guy back,
the guy's coming with the gun, whatever, he's coming.
He's coming.
The guy starts walking, so he doesn't know what he's going to do, so he's going to kill him, because he's assuming he's
going to kill him. The Gemara says that he's not going to kill. The Gemara says he's a nice guy enough. The Gemara says, he's not coming to shoot like that.
The
Bo Machteris is already willing to shoot before he sees the guy.
This
is a very darkistic thing. I'm not sure whether are we describing Ganovim of 2020 or are we describing Ganovim of the old days. You know, the way Mordechai Marcus is reading this Gemara is that this Bo Machteris is really a scaredy cat. He really doesn't want to kill anybody. He's really a nice guy. He's a god of Yev, he doesn't want to kill anybody. The only thing is he's desperate. And he knows that if the Balabas starts to putting up a fight, that he has lace braids and he has to shoot. That's where Mordechai Marcus is reading the Gemara. So if that's the case, so then we should say to the Balabas, before this gets out of hand, run away. Avram Zev is saying, no, that the guy is shooting to kill even Mitchila. Because he's got this whole cheshbon in his mind. He suspects the guy's going to stand up against me. The minute the Baal Bachter sees the Balabas, he's ready to shoot him. I don't know. I'm not sure. I have to read the Gemara carefully. I don't know. What about here? Here. Yeah, because that's a different. That's the yitzim in a klal. Because that's the yitzim in a klal. Because everyone knows the father's not gonna really put up. Everyone knows the father. No, taking away your money is not the only. No, you're allowed to be manish him for coming to be a ritzeach. You're not allowed to be manish him for coming to be a ganav. Kenevah doesn't carry with the einish. So this is a very, very fine point. So hopefully, Metz Hashem, later on sugyas, we're going to develop this further and further. But this was the first taste of this sugya is through the eyes of the Rashba. Well, that's such a crazy story. I was, when we were learning Sanhedrin, my first year in YU, so we were the yeshiva at Makkos that year. And we finished Makkos by, it was in Rai Willick's year, we finished Makkos by Purim. So only 24 blot, we finished by Purim time. So we learned, then afterwards, the end of the year, we learned some of the sugyas of Ben Sarah Myra. So one Shabbos, and that kufa for the end of the year, so I had come to Davin Meirev, Kabbal Shabbos and Meirev in Rav Willick Shul for the early minyan. So I come for the early minyan, and there was a certain Rosh Hashiva who was there at the time from Eretz Yisrael, who had also come to the early minyan. But there was a mistake because the person he was supposed to eat at was davening at the late minyan. It was like a mix-up of signals at the time. So this poor Rosh Hashiva had just come, and he had just finished Davin Meirev. And the Balabas was nowhere, and the Balabas was still at work. So we had to stall him for about 40 minutes or so. So Rabbi Willick said to me, I think my parents were dying. I forgot what the story was exactly. All the details was back 30 years ago, almost 40 years ago. So Rabbi Willick said to me, was that lost? He said, listen, he said, just stall this Rashi for 40 minutes. Keep him busy. Keep him occupied. Do something with him for 40 minutes that he shouldn't have, that his Balabas isn't here yet. So Rabbi Willick said to me, just talk to him in learning. Just anything you want to talk to him in learning. So we pumped learning the sugars of Ben Sarah Myra at the time. So I struck up a conversation for 40 minutes with him about whether Ben Sarah Myra, whether Bob Machteres is a din hatzola, whether it's a din einish. The raya from the Rashbas and the raya back and forth and the kashas, but Machteres back in and here for 40 minutes. I remember his eyes were like glowing. I still remember his face. His eyes were glowing. He was so excited. He couldn't understand, couldn't believe that in America they're holding in Bob Machteres, whether it's in Einish or it's in Hatzal, he was mamash in this Nispal. So I kept him quiet for 40 minutes till his Balabas. bus came to take him home for a meal. Anyway, so bottom line is, Nagela Mais and Asugya, is that we have two very, very different approaches to Gedolei Rishonim. Can you conceive of Misa preceding Mor or not? Is that also subject to Kimmel Ramine? So you have the Shitas HaRosh that says the absolute answer is yes. You have Shitas HaTaisa and the Rosh that say the absolute answer is no. In order to understand the Rosh, we got to do a little fine tuning in terms of touching up the Rosh, as you say this by Rodif a little bit. But we're still left with our original question. So this, of course, sets the stage for Taisa's and Anayim days. That's the Taisa that we really want. All the other things we picked up was nice, but we want to understand our Taisa's and Anayim days and Aleph in light of everything else that we've been talking about. So hopefully, from tomorrow, we'll pick up that Nakuda. So it appears that we are not going to finish the sugya today. We are nowhere near done with the sugya today. We still got a lot of work to do. Hopefully, Hashem, tomorrow we'll go into the sugya, and then we'll try to spend some time tomorrow also a little bit in Yom HaYoma related to the Tainus, some Devi Chizuk or Cyrus or something or other, whatever we call it, related to Yom HaYoma tomorrow. Okay, good. Hashem, we'll see everybody tomorrow. Okay? I'm going to try to be a Seder on time tomorrow, even though Davin is a little bit longer, but there's no breakfast, so Seder still starts on tomorrow. Okay.